Well, last week I was going to finish up my series that I've been in now for about 4 weeks. This is the fifth week in a series called Finding Thankful. Through the whole month of November, we went through talking about giving God thanks through our daily grind. It's hard sometimes to give God thanks in our daily grind because we think that this is just a normal day, nothing really is going on, nothing extraordinary, nothing supernatural is happening in my life. I'm paying bills, I'm going to work, I'm providing for the family, I'm going to this place and that place, and I'm just doing life. And sometimes we get so caught up in doing life that we are not thankful for the life that we have, that we despise what we call normal, other people would love to have. And so we find our thankful through giving God glory and praise through our daily grind. And so this is going to finish up this series, and we're going to be talking about finding thankful by releasing control. Now, I know everybody recoiled right then at that moment, because control is something that we feel like we can do, that it's our last bastion of hope. It's the last stronghold, right? It's the Alamo. And, you know, if all else fails, I'm going to be in control. And I hope this message teaches us just how out of control we really are. And that our attempts to be in control oftentimes ruin us from being thankful. It blinds us from what we are to be thankful for. And so if you would turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 1. While you guys are turning there, it is up on the board, but wanted to mention that this coming Sunday, the following Sunday, we're going to be, actually this sermon finishes, ties up the message Finding Thankful, but it also propels us into our Christmas series. And we're going to be talking about the names that Jesus had. Noel, right? Emmanuel. And so names in the Bible back in those days has specific meaning. We name our kids sometimes based on what is popular, what is the trend, or we name them after our moms or our dads, and all those things are good. But back in those days, names were well thought out, and each one of them had a specific meaning. And so we're going to go over those starting next week. But today, we're going to be talking about Mary. And I gave Mary, that goes to our church over here, a heads up that I'm not calling her out this morning, but I'm talking about Jesus' mom, all right? So, and if there's anybody named Elizabeth here, I'm also talking about the biblical Elizabeth as well. So rest easy, all right? So let's pray before we get into it. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you, Lord, that it encourages us. It gives us hope. And it speaks truth over us when we hide from it. Lord, no matter where we are in life, no matter what we do, we can always go back to the word of truth. It establishes us, it gives us hope and peace. And Lord, I ask today that your word of truth would pierce our hearts, would give us comfort, would set us free from the control that we have over our own lives. Father, help us to understand that it robs us of being thankful, it robs us of giving you glory, it robs us of giving you the praise that you solely deserve. And so this morning, I thank you for that anointing of the Holy Spirit to speak truth and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to receive it today. In Jesus' name, amen. So Luke chapter 1, we're going to start with verse 26 and go through 38. This is the account of the angel Gabriel coming to Mary. So here it is. It's just a normal day, all right? She's going about her day, and all of a sudden, something life-changing happens. Luke 1, 26 says this, "When Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a city in Galilee, to a virgin who was engaged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David's house. The virgin's name was Mary. When the angel came to her, he said, "Rejoice, favored one." Now, can you imagine going about your day and an angel appears to you and says, "Rejoice, favored one"? We read this stuff like it's normal, right? But how would you like it if you were going through your normal, you were going about your day, and all of a sudden Gabriel, not just an angel, but Gabriel, the chief angel, appears to you and says, "Rejoice, favored one." How would you react? Not only that, but he says, "The Lord is with you." She was confused by these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. I think that is a very big understatement. If that was me, I would be freaking out, right? That Gabriel came and said, "Rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you," I would be a little freaked out. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God is honoring you. Look, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. He will rule over Jacob's house forever, and there will be no end to his kingdom." Then Mary said to the angel, "How will this happen since I haven't had sexual relationship with a man?" The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come over you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the one who is to be born will be holy. He will be called God's Son. Look, even in her old age, your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son." This woman, who was labeled unable to conceive, is now 6 months pregnant. Nothing is impossible for God. Amen. Then Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be." Everybody say it with me. "Let it be. Let it be with me just as you have said." Then the angel left her. I don't know about you guys, but I wouldn't have been that calm. Right? All of this stuff being said, she's going about her business, and then all of a sudden this supernatural thing happens, and it completely changes her life, and her response is, "I am the Lord's servant, let it be with me as you have said." Then the angel left her. How many of you this morning are willing to admit there are areas of your life that you love to control? Yes. Some of you may be saying, "I'm not controlling, I'm just aggressively helping." Right? I'm very aggressive about helping myself out can't get control out, can you? But I'm just aggressively helping. For some people, they really want to control what people think about them. So they use social media to achieve that perfect, happy image. They get to show everybody the life they want you to see, filtered, edited, and cropped. So the more we want to be in control, the more we fight for control, right? No one that has a control issue in their life is comfortable with things being out of control. When there's a deviation in your life, you're devastated, distraught, and you're hysterically trying to figure out how to get everything back in that box that you've built. Instead of saying, as Mary did, "Let it be as you said." So the more we want to be in control, the more we fight for control. That's why today I want to give you just one thought, one big idea. It's a simple thought to remember, but it's very, very difficult to live out. And it must be lived out by faith, through faith. It is deliberate. It is a chosen way of life. It's not something just happens by happenstance. You don't wake up and you're full of faith and vigor and you believe God can do anything. But it's a deliberate act. It's a methodical act that you make up your mind each and every day, and you ask yourself a question of who are you going to serve today? But as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Through my pain, I will serve the Lord. Through my abundance, I will serve the Lord. Through my lack, I will serve the Lord. The Apostle Paul said that I have learned what it is to be in want, and I've learned whatever it is to be in a great amount, or whether naked or fully clothed. He said, I have learned this one thing, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It wasn't downloaded to him. It wasn't mystically poured over him through dust. But it was a decision that he made through living his life methodically out each and every day on purpose. I have learned. So we must choose to live it out by faith. It is a choosing, not a bestowing. So here comes the big thought. You don't always have the power to control, but you always have the power to surrender. Always. We can't control what happens in our life. We can't control if we're on the side of the road somewhere and our car decides to quit on us, or we have a flat tire, or if we get laid off from our job. We don't have control over, maybe it's our kids that are about to move out of our house and they start making decisions on their own without asking you. Sometimes we just don't have control. We don't have control on whether we get a bad diagnosis in our physical health, or whether someone dies in our family, or those things that are just out of control. Sometimes we do not have the power to control that which cannot and will not be controlled. But we always have the power to surrender. Always. We have the power to choose to serve the Lord on a daily basis. Well, that sounds so spiritual, Pastor. But we do have the power to surrender our lives to the Lord. We have the power to say, then let it be as you said. I am your servant. Let it be as you said it would be. Lord, I don't understand the diagnosis in my body. I take good care of myself. I work out. I eat right. I take supplements. I do everything I possibly can. And yet this happens in my body. I feel completely out of control. I don't understand it, Lord. But nonetheless, your will be done. I release control of my physical body. I release control of my finances. I release control over my kids. I release control over my house, my marriage, all of the hurts in my life. I now vanquish control and hand it over to you. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. Amen? It is a deliberate act. We don't always have the power to control, but we always have the power to surrender. You do not always have the power to control what your husband does or what your wife does. You don't always have the power to control what your boss does or what he or she says about you. We don't always have the power to control diagnosis in our bodies or our marriage or our finances. But we do have the power in the midst of chaos, in the midst of us feeling as though things are crumbling around us. We do have the power to surrender all of it to Jesus' capable hands. To reinforce this point, Mary, Jesus' mom, is going to help us out this morning with this big idea, this big thought that we don't always have the power to control, but we always have the power to surrender. So an angel appears to the Virgin Mary and told her what is to come. We look at Mary and say, well, it's easy for her because she's the Virgin Mary, right? She is the Virgin Mary. I mean, there are statues, if you would go ahead and put that up. There are statues that are built in her honor. There are cathedrals that are built around her memory. If you go around town, you'll see decorative statues that are built of Mary in people's yards, in people's homes. There's images of her everywhere. I mean, really, this should be a normal part of her. There she is. Mary right there. There's cathedrals, if you'll go to the next one, that cathedral that, and it's not just that one, but as I was researching it, there are hundreds of them all over the place that are built in memory of her, right? And so she's the Virgin Mary. Of course, this is normal for her in her life. I mean, she is a religious figure, right? But what we forget is when the angel appeared to Mary, she was ordinary, everyday, run-of-the-mill teenage girl. She was probably around 15 to 19 years old when the angel came to her. She was going about her business just like you and I go about our business every day. The only difference is we no longer need an angel to appear to us to give us good news or to direct us. We don't have to pray to angels. We don't have to look for them because we have a Savior that lives and breathes inside of us. Amen? And because of that, everywhere we go, the Spirit of the Son of God goes with us. There is nothing holy about this building. There is nothing religious about this building. There's nothing in this building that can answer your prayers because the Spirit of God does not belong and is housed in the brick and mortar anymore. But it resides in our spirit, inside our souls. And where we go, He goes with us. We know that because Jesus said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Amen? That's the good news. That is the good news. But here we see that Mary is just this average, ordinary, run-of-the-mill teenage girl that did not stick out of the crowd. But yet, all of a sudden, her life is about to be completely turned upside down. Now, I'm going to assume as well that Mary probably had plans of her own. If you'll notice, she was getting married to this guy named Joseph. She was engaged, and back in those days, engagement did not mean the same as it does here right now. Back in those days, if you were engaged, you were legally married. You had just not consummated the marriage yet. You've not had the big party and the priest and all that stuff, but you are legally bound to one another. And so when Gabriel came to Mary, my mind would be going crazy at that moment because I'm legally bound already. How in the world is this going to happen? And even she said it, how is this going to happen? I don't understand. And then the angel said that, gave the process, and then she was like, well, okay, I'm your servant. Let it be as you said. I don't know about you guys, but I would have been a little bit more freaked out than that. But I'm assuming that Mary had dreams of her own. She was looking at bridal magazines, and she was picking out all of her clothes, and she was picking out her maids of honor gowns and all these different things. She had plans, and all of a sudden it was completely interrupted. We all have hopes and dreams, and we have life figured out in our own heads, don't we? In our heads, it works. For some of you, you were done at two kids only to find out you have a bonus round on the way. For some it's not having a loved one in the holidays for the first time, maybe due to a deployment or maybe moving or a death in the family. And we think this isn't the way it's supposed to be. This isn't the way I've got it worked out in my head. My head is not matching up with what I'm seeing at the present moment. It's not the way it's supposed to be. But Mary didn't know the end of the story either. You see, we can read in Luke chapter 1 the beginning of the story, and then we can read at the end how it turned out. Mary was just going on her way like we all do in our lives, and it was completely interrupted for all coming time, not just in her life, but for generations to come. Completely changed. But Mary didn't know the end of the story. But she said, "Let it be as you said." Some of us in our lives, all of us in our lives, when life gets out of control, when things are not adding up in our head, and life seems to be turning out completely different, we've got to understand that we do not need to know all of the details, because God is working it out for our good. Whether we're feeling hurt at the moment, whether we're feeling abandoned at the moment, whether we're feeling on the mountaintop or wherever we are in between, melancholy, it doesn't matter. God is working all things out for your good. Release control. Do as Mary did and said, "Let it be. God, I don't feel you. I don't know if I 100% trust what's going on around me right now, but I understand according to your word that you are working all things out. Even when I'm hurting right now and don't feel that it's good, I know you're doing this for my good." And what the enemy meant for my destruction, for my humiliation, for my loneliness, you were creating inside of me a far greater riches, a far greater story, a far greater testimony that I could ever imagine or create or manipulate or control my own self. Many of you guys know my story, that all throughout high school, when I was a freshman, all the way up to my senior year, I wanted to be a child psychologist. That's all I wanted to do. And I was working real close with my guidance counselor to make sure I was taking the right classes and going to the right school. And I was accepted into this school. And one night in Dallas, Texas, at Youth for the Nations, changed my life and the course of my life forever. It is the reason I'm standing here before you today. And the presence of God changes all of that. And there's a crossroads in our life, and it's not just one crossroad, but it's another one right after that. And each crossroad that you say, "Let it be," to prepares you for the next crossroad. And I'm not telling you it's ever going to get easier, but one thing we can do with those crossroads is know that my God will supply all of my needs according to His riches in glory. Amen? That He is working all things out for my good, and I know that I can trust Him, and I can step out and go to the left and to the right, or go straight ahead, and His Spirit goes with me. Amen? We don't need to know the end of the story. What we need to do is prepare ourselves for the moment, right here and right now, because that's what matters. The future is not up to us. Yes, we plan. Yes, we do what we can do, but we say, "Father, don't bless my plans. You lead and guide me, because I understand that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And because of that, I give up control, and I step where you tell me to step, and I turn where you tell me to turn, and all the way I will say, 'Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" You see, Mary, she didn't know that 3 decades later her son Jesus would be on the cross, and that God would raise him from the dead, and you don't know in your own story how things will turn out either. I mean, just think about it. If Gabriel would have said, "Listen, this is what's going to happen. You're going to conceive and give birth to the Son of God, and this is what's going to happen. You and Joseph are going to be running for your lives. You're going to abandon your work. You're going to abandon your family, and you're going to be running because somebody's out to kill you. There's a king out to kill you." And then this son of yours is going to grow up, and at 30 years old, he's going to be loved by the whole city and everywhere around him. And there's going to be miracles that's going to take place through the touch of his hand by his word. But then in a moment, everybody else is going to abandon him, and he's going to be killed viciously and violently. What would have Mary had said then? Who knows what she would have said? God only gives us what we need in order for us to take the next step. And for us as believers, we've got to be okay with that. We've got to release control, because he's not going to bless our plans. He only blesses his. And when he shares with you his plans, they're already blessed. There's provision in his plan. There's peace in his plan. There's joy in his plan. There's healing in his plan. Amen? Mary had a choice to make. And remember, you don't always have the power to control, but you always have the power to, say it with me, surrender. She had a choice. She had to make a choice between her dreams and God's destiny for her life. What I love about Mary is this: even though she didn't understand, she trusted that her Heavenly Father had a purpose. So with that said, a thought kind of comes to my mind. There is no partial surrender. There's no such thing as, oh God, I give you this part of my life, now bless the rest. Right? I'm going to decide today what I'm going to give you, and then I want you to bless the rest. I got it. I've got it in my control. You don't have to, all these other areas, I've got it. Like, I don't need your grace. I don't need your peace. I don't need your provision. I don't need, all of these things. I've got it. In this other area, I give it to you. But there's no such thing as partial surrender. It's either you are surrendered to Jesus completely or you are not. There are no different levels of surrender. There are no different levels of surrender and laying bare before God. It's either you are completely surrendered or you are not. It's remarkable to me that we trust Jesus to save our soul but not clean up our language. We trust Him to make our path straight but not with our money. We trust Him with our peace, but not our plans. That's called partial surrender. That we trust Him over here. Thank you, God, that you saved my soul. I receive it joyfully and humbly, but I do not trust you with the plans for my life. Because I'm afraid you're going to require, and that's what it comes down to. I'm afraid that it's going to require faith from me to trust in you. I'm afraid it's going to require me dying to myself and taking up my cross and following you. I've got a manageable cross over here through my partial surrender. I don't need the cross that I need your grace to bear. I don't need your peace to bear. I don't need your strength to bear. And so, Lord, I'm comfortable here, so I surrender that, but not this. So it's remarkable how we trust God to save our souls, but when it comes down to how we talk, how we think, how we treat others, what we do with our finances, what we do with our plans, we tend to want to control that because, well, it's part of who we are. But God wants so much more for you than just that. So what is our desire to control rooted in? To be honest, my desire to control is rooted in the lack of faith. I don't know about you, I'm just talking about me. My desire to control is rooted in lack of faith sometimes. It's not easy. Our culture says, if it's going to be, it's up to me. If it's going to be, it's up to me. I've got to be strong. I've got to manipulate. I've got to be strong. I need to keep my head down, and I'm going to make it. And I want you to listen to the words of Jesus that goes diametrically opposed to that way of thinking and to our culture when he said this. Jesus said, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. That, my friends, is giving up complete and total control. Surrendering completely to him. Listen, Jesus again said, if you cling to your life, if you cling to these areas that you don't give to me, you're going to lose it. No matter how hard you plan, no matter how methodically you have thought this thing out, if you cling to it, you're going to lose it. But if you give it up, if you give your life up to me, you will find it. In other words, to fully follow Jesus is to surrender complete and total control to him. In other words, let it be. Not my will, but your will be done. I remember trying to figure out how to pray for my mom when things were going really wrong. Not knowing how to pray, not knowing if I should pray for her healing or her passing. And if I pray for her passing, then aren't I contributing to my mom speedily going up to heaven? And you know, all these different things are going on in my head. And so I reached out to my aunt. She reached out to me one day, and I said, "Aunt Judy, I have no idea what I should pray anymore. I don't know. I'm afraid to pray. I'm afraid to pray that I might get it wrong or that I'm praying the wrong thing." And she said, "Jimmy," she said, "the only thing that we can pray when we're confused, when we don't know what to say, when we don't know what to pray, when we're afraid to pray it that way, we pray this simple prayer." And I want you to remember this, Jimmy. "Thy will be done." What does that do? For a believer, it relinquishes control. It causes us, it's amazing the willingness of each and every one of us in this room to carry such weights that we were not built to carry. "Thy will be done." It is a casting off. It is a release of a believer, of the burden of control, from the burden of being everywhere at the same time. It's a release that passes all understanding when we cast all of our cares on him, because he cares for us. Jesus said, "I want you to hand over all of your burdens. Put it on me. And I want you to put on my yoke, because it is easy and it is light." We forget those things when we're trying to manipulate and control everything. But my Aunt Judy, and I'll never forget it, she said, "Jimmy, thy will be done." So every time I didn't know what to pray, and my mom got sick, I would always pray, "Lord, I don't understand, but your will be done. My mom is in your capable hands, and I surrender her to you. I love her. If I could heal her, I would. But your will be done." Man, that's a hard prayer to pray, because you give up control. You don't know the end. You don't know the beginning. You don't know the end. You don't know how things are going to happen. You don't know the middle. You don't know if there's going to be a crescendo in the end. You don't know if there's going to be a diversion to the left real quick. You don't know. "Thy will be done." It's a giving up. It's a releasing of control over to the Lord. Surrendering to Jesus isn't a one and done type deal. It's a daily choice to give up control and surrender. Every time, again, my mom would get sick, I'd pray, "Lord, your will be done." It's amazing to me that when Mary surrendered control to God, she eventually saw evidence of the faithfulness of God. Think about the implications of Mary's surrender here. She's engaged to Joseph, and she has to tell him the story of an angel coming to her. Can you imagine that conversation? So she tried to tell Joseph what was happening, and Joseph is like, have you, like, been drinking your dad's wine that he didn't let everybody else drink? Like, are you drinking the hooch? You know, what is it you're... Is that a Southern word? You say hooch around here? And so Joseph was like, because he was a good man, the Bible says that Joseph was a good man and didn't want to dishonor her, that he wanted to divorce her quietly. But then God intervened. And he sent Gabriel and said the exact same thing. And he said, don't be afraid to marry her, because what was spoken over her will come true. And so we see that God is intervening in these situations. Remember, we don't always have the power to control, but we always have the power to surrender. And that's what Joseph did. Now fast forward and you see Mary and Joseph are on the run, and there's no room at the Motel 6, but God provides a way, right? How do you pay your bills when you're on the run? Do you even think about that? When we read the Christmas story, we don't think about stuff like, how are they paying their bills? Like, I don't understand that Joseph left his shop, and they just closed up their house and boarded it up for the winter, and, you know, going up here, and they're running for their lives, and how's this working out? And then all of a sudden, God sends three wise men with some very expensive gifts. A surrendered life equals a provisioned life. Let's fast forward one more time. Jesus is in the garden under tremendous stress, so much so that his capillaries burst and is bleeding from his brow. Jesus is feeling the weight of his destiny, and he says, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. In this moment, Jesus used the same Greek word that his mother used when she surrendered, which translates to, let it be. Let it be. Let it be your will and not mine. Now I want you to think about the implications of Jesus' surrender. As Jesus was hanging on the cross, suffering for us, his body and face, which Pastor Dennis so eloquently talked about earlier, was unrecognizable because of the beating that he took publicly for us. At a moment's notice, Jesus could have ended it all and taken control over that situation. He could have taken control over his own destiny. He could have called legions of angels to wipe out everyone, but he said as he hung on the cross, not in a place of comfort, not in a place of ease, not in a place that was surrounded by the people that loved him the most. He said this in the place of pain, in the place of sorrow, in the place of humiliation, in the place of disfigurement. He said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. This morning I want to ask you another question. What is it that you are trying to control but God wants you to surrender this morning? Would you please stand with me? I love how the Christmas story has so many twists and turns to it. You know, we read the story and we're like, wow, that's awesome. But if you peel back that layer and go, wow, how does she tell Joseph that? How does he handle that? His life being out of control, her surrender versus Joseph's humility. He's humiliated because his legal wife has said that she's pregnant by God. How do you deal with that? when your life is out of control, when the decision that you made did not go as you thought it would go, when you have to eat crow, maybe you said the wrong thing, whatever the situation may be in your life where things feel like they are just spiraling, in that moment of chaos, in that moment of fight or flight, I hope you say, as Jesus said, in the place of pain, the place of sorrow, Father, into your hands I commit my life. I commit the mess that I've made into your life, into your capable hands. That's what I said when I came to Christ. Growing up, I gave my heart away so many times. I would go from one relationship to the other because that's how I had seen it demonstrated to me in my house growing up, that you just give yourself away. And that means that you love. That means that you care. And then, as you know, teenage love doesn't always work out. And so when I came to Christ, I just held out my hands and I said, Lord, I have made a mess of the only thing that you want, my heart. It doesn't even resemble what you created. I did that. But Father, into your hands I commit my heart. I relinquish control out of my plans to be a child psychologist. I relinquish my plans to live my own life according to my own will and my own knowledge. I relinquish control of what others may think of me. And into your hands I commit my spirit, my heart, my life, my job, my kids, my relationship. Into your hands I commit my everything. No partial surrender, no picking and choosing, but giving you everything. All the rotten places in my life, all the places that I hide, I give to you. Because it's only Him that's going to be able to make anything that resembles beauty. You know, the Bible says that He gives beauty for ashes, strength for fear, gladness for mourning, and peace for despair. I think we get the better end of the deal. So would you bow your heads with me this morning? I just want to give you a minute to just think about that question. What is it that you are trying to control, but God wants you to surrender? If I could have the prayer team come this morning. What I want to do is, I just want to take a moment. We're just going to be quiet for a second. And I just want you to ask the Lord, Lord, maybe you don't even have to ask. You just know. You just know. But let's just be quiet for a moment. And then we'll give some direction just for a moment. So let's just allow the Lord to speak today. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior at all. Maybe the Christmas story I just told you doesn't resemble the story you know. Know there is a Jesus who was born of a virgin, raised in a loving home, who at 30 went into ministry, who healed the sick, healed the blind, raised people from the dead, and in the end was betrayed and beaten, was humiliated publicly for all of the known world to see. And he died for you. And he did that because there was no other way for you to have a relationship with the Father except through his blood and his sacrifice. If there was another way, he would have done it. But he came and he bled and he died. But the good news is that on the third day, he came up from the grave. And he sits at the right hand of the Father. And he lives and breathes to make intercession for you because he loves you. And this morning, if you don't know this Jesus, today you can know him by giving up control of your own sin, of your own mess, of your own plans and control of your life. It could happen in an instant, in a moment, by saying, Father, into your hands I commit my life, as Jesus did as he hung on that cross. This morning, if that's you and you say, Pastor, today I'm making Christ the Lord of my life, and I'm saying, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Father, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. I lay down, I release my control, and I give it to you. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would speak over each and every one of us that, well, we all have control issues. We all believe we're strong enough. We all believe at our core that we can get through it. If we just put our head down, we just plow through this tough time in our life, we'll come up for air. But the problem is that we never come up. We're living in a state of chaos. We're always reactionary. And I pray today that you release that which you cannot and will not be controlled into the capable hands of your Heavenly Father. Do as Jesus did. Do as Mary did. Let it be done. Let it be so as you said. I give up today. I am yours. So Father, with all of my heart, I release control today of the good things, the bad things. The totality of who I am is yours. I'm scared to death. I don't know what that looks like. I've never been in that place before, but Lord, today, with my whole heart, I give it to you. It's yours. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, if you need prayer concerning these things, if things seem to be out of control, maybe there's some things in your life that you need prayer about, there is no shame in that. And as a body, we encourage confession. We encourage reaching out. And the altar is not a place of shame. It is a place of restoration and peace. It takes courage to come forward and pray. It takes courage to let somebody else in. You don't have to spill everything. Just give a brief, hey, this is what's going on. I just need you to pray. And allow these folks to pray over you. And watch what the Lord does with that. Amen? I'm going to pray again. We're going to dismiss. And if you need prayer, come forward, please, for the love of our Heavenly Father, come forward and allow God to heal you, cleanse you. Amen? Father, I thank you for the word that was spoken today. I thank you, Father, for the worship that went up today. And I ask, Father, that as we read Luke 1 again, Lord, would you just pour out yourself on us as we give up control of our own lives to you. So, Father, I bless the word today, and I bless the hearers of your word today. God, give them courage to release, courage to say, let it be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.